Good morning. So almost 1 year ago, I preached my very first sermon ever, and it was right here. We're on the one-year anniversary. I thought I'd just preach the same one all over again. Is that okay? Our scripture today is from the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 through 10. Will you stand with me as we read God's word? First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, we are desperate to hear from you this morning. Would you please speak to us? Would you please change our hearts and our minds? We want you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You were created by God, and you exist for God. Colossians chapter 1 says that all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So, where did the world come from? Where did the universe come from? Where does time and space and matter come from? Where does human existence and consciousness come from? God. God is the source and sustainer of all things. He made it all and he maintains it all the time. And why? Why do you exist? What is the meaning and purpose of your life? What is the point of all of this? God. Everything exists for God. He is the source of your life, and he is the purpose of your life. You were created by God, and you exist for God. And this God, the God by whom all things were made and for whom all things were made, that God is light. God is light. There is only one God. Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Isaiah 46, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. God is the creator of everyone and everything, and that one God is light. Being light doesn't mean he is a sun god or a moon god or a god of the stars. He's not a fire god or a volcano god or a god of the storms. He created and controls all those things. He created from nothing. the sun, the moon, the stars, fire and lava and lightning. He causes the sun to rise and commands the lightning where to strike, but he is none of those things. God is not composed of any of those things, and he is not controlled by any of those things. God is light, but that doesn't mean you can summon him by lighting a candle. God is light, but you can't worship him by worshiping the sun in the sky. God is light, but you can't appease him or control him by throwing something into a volcano. God is the creator, not the creation. And we exist for the creator, not the creation. Worshiping created things, worshiping nature, is the opposite of worshiping God. Attempting to access and worship and manipulate God through objects and images and substances has no effect. God is at the mercy of nothing. He depends on nothing. He needs nothing. Acts 17, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God is the creator, not the creation. Deuteronomy 17 says that worshiping the sun or the moon is an offense worthy of death. In Ezekiel, a group of men want to worship the sun as it rises in the east, and in order to do so, they must turn their backs on the temple of God. Worshiping nature is the complete opposite of worshiping God. You turn your back on God. Your beliefs are utterly twisted around and contorted backwards if you worship anything or anyone other than the creator of all things. God is light, but he is nothing like a pagan deity of light. He is not a myth or a metaphor. He was not created by you and me. We were created by him. We exist by him and for him, not the other way around. So back to 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. His light is pure and perfect and good and holy. He is not dark at all. He's not half light and half dark. He's not mostly light with a little bit of dark. He's not sometimes light and sometimes dark. He's not some sort of barbaric dark ages God slowly being enlightened through the centuries. His being does not change. His plans and purposes do not change. He does not change his mind. The one true God is light and light only. And in him is no darkness at all. James 1, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God doesn't need the dark. He's not balanced by the dark. There's not a light God and a dark God. There's not a good God and an evil God who work together in some interdependent, symbiotic, paradoxical, eternal relationship of struggle to maintain balance in the universe. No. There is only one God. Hear, O Demopolis, the Lord is one, and he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is only, ever, always light, and we were made by the light and for the light. And this is the great problem. Because this is the human condition. God is light, and we are not. We humans are born into darkness by nature, and we stay in the darkness by choice. We are children of the dark, friends of the dark, slaves of the dark, lovers of the dark. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. This whole book tells the story of how God, who is light, made humanity for himself. He made us children. He made us to be children of light, a people who live and flourish and work and love in a kingdom of light. He made us to be a people who glorify him and enjoy him forever in the light. And this book tells the story of how we choose the dark instead. We were made by the light and for the light, but we prefer the dark. And as long as we love and live and walk in the dark, we do not have a relationship with God. We do not know him. Look at our text again from today, 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we were made by God and for God, who is light, then living in the dark means we cannot and do not live for the one who made us. We have to leave the dark and come into the light to live with him and for him. We must turn around from our twisted condition. We have to face our Creator, but by nature, we won't. We don't. Why? Why would anyone, why does everyone ever born choose darkness? John 3, again, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. The light of God exposes everything. Why don't we want to come into the light? Because the light exposes who we are and what we've done. The light exposes our disobedience. The light exposes our wickedness. The light exposes our twisted backwards preference for creation and for ourselves over the Creator. We hate the light because we hate the thought of being exposed. So instead, we choose the dark, as we feel like we can hide from God there. In the beginning, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they hid themselves from him. They hid from the light. They hated the light. They feared the light, because the presence of God exposes who we really are and everything we've ever done. The light exposes every way we have failed to love and live for our Creator, the one who made us, the one who we were made for. We've failed. We know we were created by God, and we know we exist for God, and we don't care. We want to stay in the dark. We suppress the truth. We hear him calling to us. We see his light breaking in, and we say, no, I have to stay here. I have to stay in the dark. I cannot face you, my God. Because if I come to you, my God, if I come to you, I will be exposed.
God, I am ashamed of who I have been. I am ashamed of what I've done, but it's worse than that. I have to stay here. I have to stay in the dark because I want to. I like it here. I can do whatever I want here. You can't tell me what to do here, God. I am God here.
My problem with coming into the light isn't just the fact that I'm ashamed of what I've done. My problem with coming into the light is what I want to keep doing. I don't want to stop. I don't want to change. We are dark. We are dark inside and out. By nature and by choice, darkness is humanity's default condition. As descendants of Adam and Eve, darkness is the genetic disposition of every human heart. We are radically depraved, a pitch black people from conception. There is no one born good, no one born light, not even one. We are a species of darkness. Children of wrath, we are specialists in darkness, inventors of evil. And yet, out of unbelievable goodness and grace and love, God invites us into the light. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Isaiah chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. He draws us and pulls us up out of darkness into a relationship with himself so that we might finally live the life we were made for. But we must leave the darkness to have fellowship with him. We must stop living in the dark. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. There's no such thing as fellowshipping with God in the dark. There's no such thing as a long-distance relationship with God, him in the light over here and you in the dark. There's no such thing as living for anything or anyone, including yourself, in the light. There's no such thing as being a Christian and having a life full of secret sin. Sin hidden in darkness. God's light exposes everything. The presence of God, a relationship with God, exposes who we really are and everything we've ever done. The Christian life is an exposed life. A life in the light, a life you were made for. What are you waiting for? Come into the light. Do not stay in the darkness because you are ashamed. Do not stay in the darkness because you think you like it better there. The darkness is a horrible place and you know it. Because you were not made for it. See past your shame and see past your twisted love of the dark and instead behold the light breaking in because God is determined to have you. He is determined for you to live for him in the light.
because he is good. And he is loving, and even though he doesn't need you, he wants you. He made you. Do you know what happens when a soul created by the light and for the light lives in darkness? It dies. When a plant needs full sunshine to survive, but instead is planted in the shadows, it dies. Our souls need God. He doesn't need us. We need him. We were made for him. He has put a longing for eternity into our hearts. And in goodness and in love, he invites us to himself in the light. Why would you stay in the dark? Don't you feel yourself wilting away? Life is so dissatisfying in the dark, and you know it. Life is so meaningless in the dark. It's so depressing and frightening and perverse and hopeless and twisted and broken. It's nothing but despair and darkness and death. Don't you know that? Don't you feel that? Aren't you tired of trying to make your life work in the dark? Aren't you tired of hiding what you've done and who you've been? Don't you want to face the truth? Don't you hear and see the radiant one beckoning you, who made you by himself and for himself? Don't stay in the dark. Don't stay in the dark. There's one more problem we need to address before you come into the light. The problem is, you can't. If you just stroll into the light, the wrath of God will annihilate you because of your wickedness and sin. You were hiding for a reason. God's light is not a warm, friendly glow. God's light is not a gentle flicker. God's light is not like a softly lit cottage in the woods on a cold winter night. God's light is like the surface of the sun. His light is marvelous. He is bright. He is radiant. He is holy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, he is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. Exodus chapter 33, God said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Hebrews chapter 12, our God is a consuming fire. God is light, unapproachable, powerful, dangerous, consuming light. He destroys all darkness, and we are dark to the core. Sin is not some simple thing we can just throw off like a dirty jacket and stroll into the light. Our sin runs deeper than that. We inherited a twisted nature from Adam and Eve, and we have freely chosen to stay twisted out of shame and perverse love. God's light obliterates darkness and evil, and that's what we are. That's who we are, even when we're finally ready to come into the light. His light blinds and boils and burns us inside and out. We can't. We've not only lived in darkness, we are darkness. We can't just stroll into the light. After what we've done, after who we've been, after we've preferred created stuff over the Creator, after we've preferred anything and everything else besides the Creator of all things, we would be annihilated. And we would deserve it. An offense against an eternal God deserves an eternal punishment. And now, you should be really, really confused. Because what I'm telling you this morning is that if you stay in the dark, you will die. And if you come into the light, you will die. You will die in the dark because it is not what you were made for. You cannot survive there. And you will die in the light because God's holy wrath will slay you. What are we supposed to do now, preacher? Our choices are death or death. Thank you for the uplifting sermon this morning. Thanks for the pep talk. What are we supposed to do now? 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is incredible. Are our only choices death or death? No. We are able to face God without being destroyed because of the blood of Jesus. We are cleansed by his blood. We are made holy enough to enter and stay in the light because Christ is holy and he stands between us and the wrath we deserve. We deserve nothing but death. So that is exactly what Jesus receives on our behalf so that we can enter into the light. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. He's our shield. He's our Savior. He is God himself. He is God made flesh for us. The same God who created us, the same God who we were created for, is the same God who saves us by dying for us. The wrath of God, which is our greatest problem, is satisfied by the death of the Son of God, our only hope. This means that your right to enter into the light is not achieved by you being a good person. It is not achieved by you being successful or likable, or better than everybody else. When you die, and one day you will, don't you dare attempt to face God based on your own merits. Don't you dare say anything like, "I tried my best, God, and I think I was a pretty good person." Your privilege to enter into the light is not earned by you and not earned by you not sinning anymore. In fact, our text today says that if you think being a Christian means not sinning anymore, you are lying. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you say Christians don't sin, you are a liar. According to this text. But wait a minute. If people in darkness sin and people in the light sin, what is the difference? who is saved? Those who are covered and cleansed by the blood of Christ are saved. Okay, how do I know if that's me? How can you know if that's you? Those who are saved walk in the light. And what does it mean to live in the light? It means you have stopped hiding in darkness. You confess your sins. Confession is the difference between someone who lives in the light and someone who lives in the dark. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can know with confidence we are recipients of the forgiveness and cleansing power of the blood of Jesus if we live a life of confession. We can know with confidence we are recipients of the forgiveness and cleansing power of the blood of Jesus if we live a life of confession. Because you can't hide anything in the light. Everything is laid bare when you confess and you agree with all of God's accusations against you. You confess your pride, your sexual perversion, your love of money, your obsession with work, your obsession with your reputation, your love of power, your preference for any created thing over the Creator. You confess you have failed and you will fail again tomorrow. And you trust by faith that Jesus Christ receives the punishment for your failures on your behalf on the cross. But we can know we are not recipients of the forgiveness and cleansing power of the blood of Jesus if we live a life of unrepentance and secret sin. We can know we are not recipients of the forgiveness and cleansing power of the blood of Jesus if we live a life of unrepentance and secret sin. Because anyone who says he has a relationship with God while he walks in darkness, while he hides in the darkness, is a liar. All right, Demopolis, this is it. Here it is, as clear as I can possibly make it. It all comes down to hiding. Everyone here today is hiding. Everyone. Those who are damned are hiding. And those who are saved are hiding. And here's the difference between their two kinds of hiding. Those who live in the dark hide their sin and themselves in the dark. And those who live in the light confess their sins and hide themselves in Christ. Colossians 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself. Where are you hiding? Those who live in the dark say, let me hide myself from thee. Those who live in the light say, let me hide myself in thee. Where are you hiding this morning? Do you hide your sins? Or do you hide in your Savior? Hiding in Christ is not like hiding in the dark. It is a very different kind of hiding. Because hiding in Christ is hiding in God himself, who is light. You are not hiding from God. You are hiding in God. Hiding in Christ doesn't create some little dark tent for you to hide in the kingdom of light. Hiding in Christ is being flooded with light and changed by the light. Christ doesn't hide you in some dark corner of the kingdom of light. You are clothed in light, clothed in righteousness, born again, adopted as his son or daughter of light. You are given a new nature. You are given a new heart. You are given a new name. You are granted a new citizenship. You were made by God, and you exist for God, and God is light. You must walk in the light in order to have a relationship with him. And in order to walk in the light, you must stop hiding your sins, and you must start hiding in Christ. You must confess your sins, hate your sins, grieve your sins, and trust the blood of Jesus to save you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, from all darkness. And those who walk in the light shall have fellowship with God. Those who walk in the light shall finally live the life they were made for. Let's pray. Father, forgive us. Forgive our hearts of darkness. We hear you calling to us. We see you breaking in. And we have said no and no and no again and again. Please forgive us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hides us in his righteousness so that we might walk in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.